and sense on short notice. We talking about basketball. We might as well go ahead and get to the basketball expert. Let's get to my man, always on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from the Bleacher Report, Greg Schwartz. My man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on today.
I know. Thank you for coming on. You know, we've been talking about the situation with Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, and it's been just so messy. It's so messy for the fans in Cleveland. And you know the crazy part about it is, I'm sitting here to myself saying, why is this 2 months, 2 years? This is so late. Why couldn't you have done this 2 years ago? Why couldn't you have done this months ago? We could have still been in contention. We could have been doing something with our lives. But guess what? Now you're in Boston. LeBron's in L.A. And obviously Kevin Love is still in L.A. because he was at dinner with him when this whole down. So I'm just confused as to what is Kyrie Irving doing and how does this whole thing play out?
Yeah, I had two feelings when Kyrie came out and said that he had called LeBron. The first, I was proud of him. You know, he's obviously getting older. He's 26 now. He's maturing a little bit. I think he's finally starting to realize, you know, just how tough it is to lead a team and to not only be in charge of yourself, but to lay out expectations for everyone else and, you know, try to see them rise to those expectations. And I thought that was a sign of maturity that he reached out to LeBron, someone who, you know, obviously they didn't get along with, and that ultimately caused the breakup. And the second one was the anger. like you said, why couldn't we have done this 2 years ago? And, you know, had a conversation then and worked it out. And, you know, maybe Kyrie just didn't want to hear it then. He was 23, 24. He decided, you know, I've had enough of being in the shadow. I want to be on my own team. It's frustrating for sure. If you're a Cavs fan to think, you know, if Kyrie's still here, especially after, you know, the article comes out from The Athletic a couple weeks ago where Joe Vardon interviewed LeBron and LeBron said, you know, that the trade of Kyrie Irving was the beginning of the end. And to hear that and think, well, if Kyrie wasn't as stubborn as he was back then and he never requests the trade and you still have the big three intact and, you know, what could have been, you know, do they trade Kevin Love? Do they try to get Paul George? What would be the next domino to fall if Kyrie stays? I think just everything is different. Does LeBron still leave if Kyrie's here? Maybe, you know, if he still has Los Angeles on his radar, which I think many assumed he would, does he leave? Possibly. But if he does, you know, you still got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And if that's not enough to compete, those are two really good trade pieces. And, you know, especially Kyrie being his age, the fact that he's still getting better, you could have fetched something probably better for him then. It's frustrating, but I was also proud of Kyrie for kind of admitting that he messed up.
Talking to Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, this has kind of morphed into a larger conversation here. When you look at the climate of the league and players in the NBA I've seen them grow. When I was younger, the Players Association of Major League Baseball had the most power, the most cachet. You know, they could do what they wanted, and you just had to stand by and watch idly. Players, thanks to what Michael Jordan did and raising visibility and making it a global sport, you know, then they passed it to Kobe and Shaq and some of those guys, and then LeBron comes along, and you know, now this, it blows up, and you look at basketball going from, you know, being blacked out with Magic and Bird during the finals to now it's everywhere. It's huge. And now they have this such great power. They have such great magnitude as far as the revenue and what they can command. And now it just seems like for me, it struck me so crazy when Kawhi Leonard forced his way out of San Antonio. When you have that flagship organization that's running their organization, you know, if you play for San Antonio and Greg Popovich, you know and understand that you legitimately have a chance to compete for a championship. When you have guys like Jimmy Butler who, you know, I want out. Kyrie Irving, who wanted out. He wanted out a year after they won a championship. He wanted gone. what does this do to the overall narrative, to the overall in respect to small market teams who say, you know, how do we compete? What are we doing here? Well, I mean, how do we look? How does that look to the small fan in Milwaukee or Indianapolis or places like that?
You know, it's interesting. For a while, everything was about the big market. And, you know, a lot of that was pre-social media. It was pre-coverage. Like, if you wanted your game to be on TV, you had to be in a big market. And, you know, that's kind of the way it was for a while. And, you know, as the years have gone on, it's become less important to be in the big market, because no matter where you are, you know, obviously with LeBron spending his first 7 years in Cleveland, it didn't matter. Like, you were going to get coverage, you were going to get endorsements, you were going to get all that. For a while, we saw free agents kind of, you know, ignore the Knicks for years. And really, the Lakers didn't bring anybody in for the last couple of years before LeBron either. So you saw these big markets kind of struggling for a while. I remember at the time, it was a big deal when the Milwaukee Bucks signed Greg Monroe, when he was one of the biggest free agents on the market. And, you know, he passed up the Knicks to go to Milwaukee. And it just kind of signified, like, wow, you know, it doesn't matter as much anymore, because these small markets, you're going to get television coverage. There's NBA League Pass. You know, at Bleacher Report, we have House of Highlights, where you could see any clip from anybody, you know, at any time, and with the visibility of YouTube and the league. And now I feel like it's the big markets are trying to kind of take back over. Obviously, we saw Kyrie go to Boston, not by his choice, but the fact that he's there, and they signed Al Horford and they signed Gordon Hayward. Those were some big signings for them. You got LeBron going to the Lakers now. This summer, the Los Angeles Clippers are going to be a team that has a ton of cap space and could get a Kawhi Leonard or a big star like that. Obviously, that's a huge market in Los Angeles. I feel like now we're kind of going back to that, which is weird, because we were going the opposite direction, obviously, with LeBron in Cleveland and Kawhi in San Antonio and some of these superstars in small markets. And, you know, I hate to see that. I like to see as balanced of a league as possible. And, you know, whether that's a market like Milwaukee, and obviously Milwaukee is very good right now. I like to see teams like that do well. Obviously, growing up a Cavs fan in Cleveland, I like to see the small markets do well. But the rise of the Lakers, the rise of the Celtics, the team like the Knicks, Brooklyn, you know, in that New York market, those are teams that are going to have a lot of cap space this year. And all of a sudden, they look a lot more attractive. The Clippers, like I said, the Lakers are going to have space for a max free agent. I think this summer is really going to be the time where we're going to see free agents start to gravitate back towards those big markets. And if they don't, if the Knicks don't sign a star this summer, if the Brooklyn Nets don't get a star, if the Clippers don't get a star, then I think we could see a shift back the other way towards the smaller markets.
When you look at the Anthony Davis situation, a lot of people point to it and say, okay, you got Anthony Davis, he's in New Orleans, and it's almost a foregone conclusion that there's no way in God's green earth that he's staying there. It's just almost like, okay, it's either they're not going to trade him because they're not going to give him away, and there's no way they can get anything back that they want. But at the same time, they know he's not going to sign again in New Orleans. So for a small market team like, you know, New Orleans or even a team like Cleveland, like, so let's be honest, you know, Cleveland didn't get, you know, what Kyrie Irving was worth. If you look at the New Orleans, at the time, the New Orleans Hornets, they didn't get what Chris Paul was really worth. A fan just asked me, he said, you know, what could you do to protect the fans in those markets? If Giannis decides he does not want to play for the Bucks, what could the league do to somehow hedge the bet to protect those teams who are not very good that could draft a star or draft a star in the top 10, and they don't want to be in Milwaukee or they don't want to be in Cleveland or they don't want to be in India? What could the league do to hedge their bet to say, okay, well, we'll make it difficult, or we'll reward you for losing somebody like that?
Well, I mean, two things. Number one, I mean, these players, they have free agency for a reason. They're allowed to go and work wherever they want to work after their contract's up, and they should have that right. And if they want to go to a big market, then, you know, that's up to them. I think the league's done a good job structuring contracts where, okay, if you want to re-sign with your own team, you can max out for 5 years. If you want to go sign with a different team, you can only sign for 4 years. And the last year, if you sign a max contract, that last year is almost always the most valuable year, because mm-hmm. a lot of these contracts are staggered 10%, backloaded 10%. So that salary just goes up and up and up and up. So that's a huge financial incentive to stay with your own team. The fact that Anthony Davis can re-sign with the New Orleans Pelicans for 5 years and $239 million, the largest contract that would ever be handed out in NBA history to date. And if he goes to a different team, if he decides he wants to sign with the Lakers or sign with whoever wants his contracts up, the fact that he can only sign a 4 year under $200 million, I mean, that's a lot of money. And I know that he's super rich already. All these guys are, that if you're playing for a max contract, you probably have a lot of money in your pocket already. But if you're talking $50 million guaranteed, that's a lot of money. I don't care, even if you're LeBron, $50 million guaranteed is a lot of money. So I think the league's done a good job structuring those contracts for the purpose of wanting stars to stay in their own teams and stay in their own markets. But at the end of the day, I mean, unless you have some sort of draft compensation, say, well, if you lose this star, you know, we'll give you an extra first round pick. I don't know if they want to do something like that to incentivize it. But at the same time, you know, how much does that really help? If you lose Anthony Davis, okay, we give you a first round pick. Yeah, that's thanks a lot. Like that's a small compensation for what you just lost.
Yeah, that's
unfortunately, a lot of these teams, that's what they come down to. Is with the Pelicans, they have Anthony Davis this year. Next year, he's under contract. He can sign an extension this summer. They're going to offer him the full 5 years, $239 million. If he doesn't sign that extension, what choice do you have but to trade him? Because you cannot let him go as an unrestricted free agent and lose him as nothing. You just can't. That would cripple that franchise. So you offer him that money and you see what he does, and you go from there.
Greg, thank you very much as always. Always breaking it down. I appreciate you coming on in short notice. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, man. Greg Shorts of the Bleacher Report. And, of course, he appears on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.